Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, as always, equip.org via the mail. It's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We'll be taking your calls in just a bit. I want to talk to Joe Dallas about our special edition of the Christian Research Journal, only a couple of days left, where this is our offer for those who support the ministry. We went to great pains to put this journal together. We feel like it's dealing with a seminal issue, an issue that has huge ramifications for not only Western culture, but for the world. Again, this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcasts Christian Research Institute and Christian Research Journal, this special edition of this organ of our ministry, available for those who support us. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. And I was also thinking today, as I was looking at the Christian Research Journal, how necessary that magazine is in a culture in which we are being bombarded by misinformation and disinformation. So this last weekend, just a few days ago, I had triple hernia surgery. Well, that puts you in a funk where you can't do a whole lot. Every now and then I could read a little bit, and so I caught up on Sports Illustrated. Of course, the cover immediately caught my attention because you have a picture of Caitlyn Jenner, formerly Bruce Jenner. And the cover story says, Caitlyn Jenner, as you know her now, Bruce Jenner, as you never knew him then. And by the way, Bruce Jenner, or Caitlyn, however you wish to refer to him or her, gave Sports Illustration special permission to use male pronouns for her pre-trans life and female pronouns for her post-trans life. You can even call her Bruce if you're referring to her pre-2014. So Sports Illustrated made a big point of the fact that they got special permission to do this, so they're not mixing up the pronouns. You'll all recall that she, or he, earned a gold medal 40 years ago for winning the 1976 Olympic decathlon. And without that medal, Jenner does not at 65 attract an audience of more than 17 million people, when she announces her transition from a man to a woman. And she does not become the most famous transgender person in history. And according to SI, she does not have the opportunity to help hundreds of thousands of people with their suicidal thoughts, with depression, with their poverty. And she would not have had an opportunity to give transgenderism a foothold in society. And so, according to Sports Illustrated, she is the savior of countless, innumerable lives. But what I really think, and I've been thinking about this as I've been laying in bed after my surgery, I've been thinking about the fact that we are facing a Holocaust in America, a social experiment that has apocalyptic ramifications for the next generation, in particular for the next generation, in general, for society at large. For example, next year, that's 2017, Washington State public schools are going to start teaching kindergarten children, to understand the many ways in which gender can be expressed. I mean, think about this. Next year, kindergarten children are going to learn the many ways in which gender can be expressed. And there are maybe 52 to 60 ways in which gender can now be expressed. And all of this is part of a newly approved health education program promoting sexual health. And how do you define gender? Well, according to what is going to be taught to kindergarten children, it's a social construct based on emotional, behavioral, and cultural characteristics attached to a person's assigned biological sex. Biology, of course, having to do with chromosomes and hormones and internal, external anatomy, and gender having to do with how one feels at any given moment. So my sense is that the state should be stepping in to protect children from such absurdities. And yet, instead of doing so, they're aiding and abetting the compromise of kindergartners at a very vulnerable and formative stage of their lives. We're going to be talking to Joe Dallas about all of this and more. Joe Dallas is the program director in Southern California of an incredible organization. This is an organization called Genesis Counseling, and it is a service to men dealing with sexual addiction, with homosexuality, with other sexual relational problems. And he's written many books on human sexuality, knows the subject better than anybody else, and that's why I have him on the show all this month to talk about this seminal issue. And Joe, my sense is, and welcome to the broadcast again, my sense is, as I said, that the state should be stepping in to save particularly kindergarten children from this kind of absurdity as opposed to forcing it on them.
Yes, but Hank, the state as we see it today is not stepping in to protect children from this. It is stepping in to impose this onto children and to impose punitive measures on anyone who objects to it. And this, to me, is maybe the scariest part of the whole scenario. We're not only seeing, as you said, a massive social experiment, but we are also seeing a rigid intolerance for any views opposing that social experiment. As long as we have a voice to reason with people, to challenge assumptions, to interject our ideas and values, then we have a chance. But a culture which is demanding a monolithic viewpoint of gender, sexual, and relational issues is a culture which is guaranteeing pretty much its own destruction, because it is not only going on a path to deconstruct the nuclear family and thereby deconstruct stability within itself, but it is also preventing anyone from objecting to it and calling a halt to the process. So it is not only the redefinition of normal behavior, but the intolerance for any objections to that redefinition, which really concerns me more than ever.
Joe, what about my thoughts? Again, I was mentioning that I had triple hernia surgery, and I was actually thinking during that time, maybe I was in a semi-comatose state, but I was thinking about the significance of the Christian Research Journal. When you have magazines like SI coming out, there has to be a counter.
Oh, Hank, by the way, I hope you're feeling better. I'm sorry to hear about that.
Well, but, I'm in the studio.
Okay, that's a start. But, you know, just this weekend I was at a conference dealing with some of these issues, Hank, and it was such a pleasure to be able to point people to the journal because many people were saying, well, look, what can we say to the transgender issue? What do we say when people accuse us of hating because we disagree? What do we say to people who call themselves gay Christians? Because more and more we are seeing, Hank, a void. Largely, there is a large deficit of Christian material out there to equip people to discuss these issues. The journal is one of those very few tools. And that's why the magazine is really more needed today than ever, because people are needing clear responses to very perplexing cultural issues, which have caught us all off guard, Hank. I mean, 30 years ago, what Christian thought that we would ever have to defend the definition of male or female or marriage or family? This hit us. We're unprepared. The journal is there to help us get prepared.
And what about the indoctrination of parents who, outside of all reason, think that their children may be of a different gender than their biology dictates, and thus they enlist doctors to pump them full of chemicals to delay the onset of puberty?
Well, I think that at the risk of being cynical, I think the promoters of this indoctrination know very well that if you let children grow up naturally, they will by and large conclude that male means male, female means female, anatomy testifies to heterosexual mating. I think they will reach those conclusions without any interference. And so to avoid them reaching the natural conclusions, they are getting to them younger and younger and younger and younger to be sure they have already prejudiced them against their own instincts. This is where I think we're doing severe damage to the upcoming generation. We're not only teaching them falsehoods, but we're teaching them not to trust some very natural instincts, which would tell them, well, the body I have is probably a pretty good indicator of my gender, whether I am male or female. And if I have feelings that would take me in a direction outside my body, I guess the problem is my feelings, not my body. Those are logical conclusions that kids will reach on their own without interference. And I think that's why we have such heavy interference. In this sense, Hank, the promoters of this new morality are a heck of a lot smarter than the church seems to be, because they realize the importance of talking about this to persuade people of their viewpoint. I think we still haven't caught on to the urgency of this issue and to how primary it is to the gospel, to church discipleship, and to healthy living in general.
I was in a meeting with Donald Trump and evangelical leaders this last week, and I had this sinking feeling that we're looking to politicians as the solution, and the only solution has to be Christians who take seriously their mandate to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ and cultural change agents.
Absolutely, Hank. I mean, I'm as concerned about the upcoming election as anybody I know. But even the most ideal candidate for president has limited ability, because the president ultimately may pass laws, may appoint judges, but he or she can't change hearts. And unless there's a conversion of the heart, there's not a conversion of the individual. If there's not a conversion of individuals collectively, there's nothing redemptive which is going to happen in the culture. So ultimately, the preaching of the gospel, the transforming work of the Holy Spirit, the work of the body of Christ to build up its members and equip the body to better evangelize and reason with people, again, the importance of the journal, there is really where the hope for any sort of resolution is going to be to all of this, what else can we call it, but madness.
Joe Dallas, again, he is the prime contributor to this special edition of the Christian Research Journal. It is available for those who support the ministry all this month. We deeply appreciate you, Joe, and all the time you've given us this month. Look forward to talking to you in a future installment of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thanks so much, Hank. Always good to be with you.
And again, the journal available for those who support the ministry all this month, but we only have a couple of days left in this month, so please be generous. We're at the end of our fiscal year. This is a very important month. It's the second most important month of our financial year, so whatever you can do, if you have some of the Lord's resources, please consider investing them in this ministry. You can give in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, you can also talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. As promised, I'm going to go live to your calls right after we come back from the break. So please give us a call at 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Again, we'll be taking your calls live right after the break. And I do thank all of those that are standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth.
The award-winning Christian Research Journal is an essential tool for your apologetics arsenal, equipping you in doctrine, defense of the faith, and discernment. Cutting-edge articles in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal include Of Bathroom Bills and Basic Beliefs, as well as Is Gay Christian an Acceptable Identity, both by Joe Dallas. Other topics include Why Biologists Tend to Make Bad Ethicists, a pro-life response to atheist P.Z. Myers, The Embodiment of Heroism Manifest in Christ, Millennials and Apologetics, and much more. Stand with CRI, and as our thanks for your gift, receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. As the culture shifts toward condoning behaviors it once condemned, so does its language. Yet Christians must resist reframing immorality in positive terms. Is gay Christian an acceptable identity? Other topics include Of Bathroom Bills and Basic Beliefs, The Embodiment of Heroism Manifest in Christ, Thought for Food, The Genetic Fallacy, Why Accept the Pythagorean Theorem, and much more. Stand with CRI during the month of June, and as our thanks for your gift, receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. When militant secularists are willing to do more for their misguided and morally bankrupt notions than Christians are for a faith that once transformed the world, you don't need to be clairvoyant to imagine the potential outcome. Stem the tide and stand with the Christian Research Institute during the month of June. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. I'm looking at a testimony from Johnny. He says, I thank God for you and your ministry. Before I was saved, I worked in a hardware store in Norco, California, where my boss was a Christian. He was always playing KKLA, and I would hear your show every single day. I didn't know then that I was searching, but I believe hearing you explain things so really put a hunger for the Word of God in my heart. And not long after, my wife and I both gave our lives to the Lord. A long time went by, and I didn't listen to you for a while, but I've been listening on the Equip app, and I love it. That's an opportunity for me to say, if you don't have the CRI app, you can download it at equip.org/app. Thank you for everything you do. You really put a hunger in me for apologetics. I'm going to a Bible school right now with hopes of transferring to Pacific and my five-year plan. So thank you again. So another testimony of a changed life. This ministry changes lives in so many different ways, not only in the West, but around the world. And we're asking people to stand with us all this month, prayerfully and financially, as we end our fiscal year. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as mentioned, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. The number to dial to get your questions answered live, 888-ASK-HANK. Leslie, first up in Houston, Texas, listening on the web. Hi, Leslie.
Hi there, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
Good, Hank. I hope you start to feel better.
Thank you.
Hank, one question. While I was viewing one of your broadcasts on television just a while ago, you were trying to explain the false teacher, Joseph Prince, to a caller, and that was, I don't know when that was, but that's what the topic was at that time. But so that brought up a question in my mind about what you may feel and think about the Beth Moore ministry.
I don't think that's in the same class as what Joseph Prince is doing. I think by and large, she stands with me shoulder to shoulder on the essentials of the historic Christian faith, although I would have very strong disagreements with her on various matters, including her view on deliverance. I think the view on deliverance that we ought to have is a view that is communicated by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. I wrote a book about that called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. And the point of the book is that if you put on the full armor of God, you can stand firmly against principalities and powers of darkness. If you do not, you are a guaranteed casualty. Let's go back to the phone lines. Dr. Ray in Utah, listening on KUTR. Hi, Ray.
Hi, how are you?
Good talking to you.
I'm good. I've got a question that came out of a previous broadcast that I was listening to. You had a fellow named Steve from Salt Lake City who said that I think if I understood correctly, he said he was Christian or was raised Christian or Baptist and became a Mormon. And you get into a fun discussion around the understanding of the Trinity and is it biblical and all that. I don't know if you remember that, but I was listening in, and I happen to have sort of the opposite story. I was 35 years a Mormon, high priest, temple goer, all that good stuff. And a little less than 4 years ago, came to understand that was all an error, and I am now happily a Christian.
Wow.
So being here in what I call the belly of the beast, known as the Salt Lake area of Utah, I, of course, have many, many conversations and run-ins with either Mormons or Mormons considering leaving or that those have left and so on. And so you mentioned to him, this is my question, you said to him, there is one verse in the Bible, I think you said one verse, maybe you said one sentence, to prove Mormonism wrong. I can find lots of things that point to that and have some sort of arguments, but I would love to know what your one verse is that you want. You know, you didn't actually say what it was, but you kind of presented it to him in that conversation. Do you remember what that was?
Well, I don't, but I probably was talking about Colossians chapter 1, where Jesus called the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Not only that, but when I talk about the mother of all questions, it is the question that Jesus posed, who do you say that I am? And of course, Peter correctly answers that question because he communicates without equivocation that Jesus Christ is deity, that he is the Son of God. And according to official Mormon doctrine, as you well know, Jesus is the first spirit child who was conceived and begotten by Heavenly Father and one of his many wives, and then progressed through obedience to the status of a God prior to his incarnation. And Heavenly Father subsequently then has many more spirit children, and Mormons believe even Satan and Lucifer is a spirit brother of Jesus. So the point here is to say that the mother of all questions is to answer whether Jesus Christ is God or whether he's a mere man who was exalted to godhood. Jesus Christ in biblical theology is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. In Mormon theology, Father God was once a mere mortal and now sits enthroned in heavenly glory, and we can become what he is. So Mormon theology, I think, ultimately fails on the singular point of the deity of Jesus Christ. But there's many other things that we could say about it. I mean, the Book of Mormon, for example, has been utterly devastated by both archaeology and anthropology. So there are many things that set themselves as truth against the error of Mormonism.
Right, right. Yeah, so that's certainly not a new argument. It's good to know specifically what you're referring to there. As you, I'm sure you know, probably more than even I, because you do this on a full-time basis and talk to people. But you know, it's no matter what I say, as I think you pointed out to the Celestines, you know, unless their eyes are open, it really does, they're just not gonna get it. And so it's good to have the arguments. It's good to be able to take them to the text and say, this is his word. This is what it says. But ultimately, they'll find clever ways to argue their way out of it until the doors are open, as mine were a few years ago. But I'm always looking for a good way to kind of, you know, go back to a specific, you know, piece of text in the Bible for the argument, not just like, well, I understand it. You know, they don't like to hear that. It's always better to go in this chapter, in this verse, it says, a much much more powerful way to teach. So I appreciate you sharing that with me, and after your prayers and you know, trying to get the word out to my fellow Mormons here in the area, and hope we'll open a few eyes here and there.
Well, thank you so much for your contribution to the broadcast, and what an incredible testimony of conversion. What was it, 4 years ago?
Just coming up on 4 years. I think August of this year would be 4 years that I finally kind of opened. I went and so visited a few churches, and I've now been in a great, great church family home, you know, for those years, and really doing well, and seeing some other folks come out of Mormonism. Well, unfortunately, not my wife yet. So pray for her, and I'm considering an if, not a when.
Wow.
But yeah. So yeah, it is. I mean, it's been a great experience, and I if you have just a second, I'll just share. I mean, literally a few seconds. Little thing here. I dealt with a lot of people. I have a website called afterlds.org or com, and I had someone contact me on that. And we talked for over an hour, and they kind of came back with, well, if God loves you so much and all this, then if he's so, has had so much grace and mercy towards you, then how did he let you, like, be a Mormon for all those years? And why didn't he, like, save you sooner? Why didn't he spare that? And without really thinking about it, my response was, so that I would have the experience to be able to sit and spend this last hour and a half talking to you and share his word with you. Unlike many Christians who don't understand what it's like to be a Mormon, what happens to our families when we leave, and all this, it was just an amazing moment to see God's grace, and it reminded me of like what Joseph went through.
It's a brilliant answer.
It was all for good, and that's how I look at it. I don't regret being a Mormon. It was a great experience that taught me how to minister now to Mormons.
Brilliant, brilliant answer, and I think you're absolutely right. I went through the same thing. When I became a believer in 1979, I was 29 years of age, and for many years, I would think about how effective I could have been in the service of the Lord if I hadn't gone through that period of atheism. And now, in retrospect, I would say exactly what you say, which is that God has used even those years in my ministry now for his good and for his glory. So I appreciate your insight and your call so much. God bless you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Hank. Great work. I appreciate it.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Mike in Louisiana, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mike.
Oh, hi, Hank. I really appreciate you and your ministry. I've been encouraged so much by your program every day when I'm driving home. That's one of the reasons why I have XM on this, just to be able to listen to you, so I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
I was just curious, your thoughts and opinions about Key Life Ministries and Steve Brown.
Well, you know, Steve, a host of a nationally syndicated talk show, is a seminary professor. He's ordained in the PCA, the Presbyterian Church of America, and has been blessed by God with one of the most incredible voices I've ever heard. So I've appreciated his ministry and appreciated him as a person for many years.
Okay. I'm glad that's the case, because he speaks with such authority and in love. I know he's a five-point Calvinist, but that aside, he's just filled with such love and grace, and I appreciate his ministry. And I just was curious what you thought about his ministry. So, thank you so much.
You got it. And I think, as Steve would say, if you're not a five-point Calvinist, you're not a Calvinist at all. Because the whole system hangs together. So I think people that say, well, I'm a three-point Calvinist or a two-point Calvinist or a four-point Calvinist, I think ultimately it is a system that hangs together. And it's either correct or it is not correct. And I grew up in a Calvinist construct and have come to the conclusion that it's not correct. But I do believe that it is within the pale of orthodoxy. And, you know, it's a great example. Steve Brown, R.C. Sproul, many great, great Calvinist theologians that have been some of the finest representations of Christ to a lost and searching world. So I have great appreciation for what men like Steve and R.C. have done through their lives and through their ministries. We are coming to a station break. On the other side of the break, we'll be taking more of your calls. Got some interesting questions coming up. And I'm looking at all the questions flooding in, and they're very, very interesting. And I want to remind you that what I was saying earlier was not a comment on whether we should vote for Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton if that ends up being the two choices that we have. I have a very strong opinion on what we should do there. The real issue here is that ultimately they are not going to be the saviors. Maybe religious freedom and liberty can be extended for a while. Maybe we can get some good Supreme Court justices. All of that is significant, even crucial. But the real critical issue is, are we as Christ's ambassadors going to do what we have been called to do, or are we not? We'll be right back.
Make a difference for truth by supporting CRI's round-the-clock defense of truth. As thanks for your gift today in support of the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, receive the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal, featuring two leading-edge articles by Joe Dallas of Bathroom Bills and Basic Beliefs and Is Gay Christian an Acceptable Identity? Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after this. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Life and truth are under assault in America in ways that would have been impossible to imagine a few decades ago. Yet Hank Hanegraaff observes the fundamental problem is not pagans doing what comes naturally to fallen human nature. Our culture is in free fall because Christians have failed to think and to live Christianly. Stand with Hank and the Christian Research Institute during June to end the year in fiscal strength and ensure that CRI's arsenal of Bible Answer Man broadcasts, Christian Research Journal articles, e-truths, and other resources remain globally accessible. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing outreaches. As our thanks, we'll rush to you the new issue of the Christian Research Journal, featuring cutting-edge articles including Joe Dallas's Of Bathroom Bills and Basic Beliefs. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. It's only by the grace of God and the partnership of friends like you that enable the Christian Research Institute to combat the assaults on truth and Christian values that followers of Christ experience daily through a growing deluge of media channels. Stand with CRI during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI or visit online at equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you, Randy. We'll go right back to our callers. Next up, Jeremy, listening in Stillwater, Oklahoma, Bot Radio. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm hanging in there. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. Just got off work a little bit ago, so it's a good day. I've got a question, and I've asked people this in the past, and the answer that I get is that it's from more than one point of view. So I'm hoping you don't give me that kind of answer. But my question in the book of Matthew, I guess chapter 8 is the only one that says two men. But for instance, in Luke, whenever Jesus cast out the demon named Legion, how come in all the other books there's only one man at the tombs, but in the book of Matthew there's two men?
Sure, and that's a good question, and I think you're referring to the two demon-possessed men, right, and their healing in
yes.
Matthew chapter 8. Yeah, so yeah, Matthew says there are two, while Mark and Luke say one, and critics have for some odd reason suggested this to be a contradiction, but obviously, wherever you have two people, there is always, 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 100% of the time, one person. So if Mark or Luke said there was only one person present, there'd be a contradiction, but the text does not say that. So what you have is Matthew focusing on two demon-possessed men that were healed, and then you have Mark and Luke, for their own reasons, focusing on one. And this is what you have with the synoptics in general. If the synoptics gave all the details of every story in exactly the same way, the first thing we would say, especially if this was presented in a legal sense, we would say there's collusion here. So they all present the story from their own perspective with their own purpose as they're led by the Holy Spirit. There's no reason whatsoever for each gospel to communicate events exactly in the same way. Now, if there was a contradiction, that would be a problem, but this is obviously not a contradiction unless you have, as I just mentioned, Matthew saying, or Luke, or in this case, Luke and Mark saying, that there's only one demoniac, and therefore Matthew was mistaken when he was talking about the healing of two demoniacs. Obviously, this is not what's going on.
So really, the word two men, it's just Mark and Luke just chose not to talk about the second person.
That's exactly right. And again, that's why you have the synoptic gospels, because reading them in unison, as it were, you have the rest of the story, or you have the complete story. If you would have the story told in exactly the same way by one witness, Matthew, and another witness, Mark, and yet another, Luke, again, in a legal situation, you would immediately suspect collusion. That's the one thing you don't find in the Gospels. You find harmony, but not collusion. Hopefully that helps. Let's go back to the phone lines. Stephen, Fort Worth, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Hank. Appreciate what you do. Excuse me. Hank, the other day I was listening to the radio, and this well-known preacher was talking about our God, and he said that, in part of the context, he said, God is in control, but God is in control. Well, if God is in control, this world is chaotic, and I don't think our God is a God of chaos. I know there have been times in my life as a Christian that he hasn't been in control because I haven't let him. And also in Genesis, does it not say that he created man and woman and gave them dominion? I guess that's kind of a control of the animals and over all the world. Tell me your comment on that. I know ultimately he is in control.
Yeah, I think it's an antinomy. There's a tension here, isn't there? Because on the one hand, we know for certain that God is in sovereign control of every detail of our lives, that not a hair falls from our head that our Heavenly Father does not know or care about it. On the other hand, what we do really matters. So we can't just live in some kind of a magical world and say, you know, my hands are dirty, but if God wants them to be clean, then he'll make them clean magically. No, you go and wash your hands. God works through means. So I think there is a tension here on the one hand, but look, the world is in a mess, not because God created the mess, but God created the potential for a mess. Why did he create the potential for a mess? Well, he gave us freedom of choice. If we did not have that choice, then there would be no genuine love. Our lives would be fatalistically determined in the sense that the atheist believes that everything is determined by brain chemistry and genetics.
Sure. Yes. Okay. All right, Hank. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it. And you know, there are only three basic answers to this question. I should mention that just as a postscript to the call. You have a pantheism, you have philosophical naturalism, and you have theism. Pantheism denies the existence of good and evil because in this view, God is all and all is God. Philosophical naturalism, the worldview that undergirds evolutionism, supposes that everything is a function of random processes. Thus, there is no such thing as good and evil. And theism, therefore, becomes the only option. It's the only relevant response to the question of why bad things happen in this world. And only a variety of this theism, Christian theism, can answer the question satisfactorily. And I think the way Christian theism does so is saying God created the potential for evil by granting human beings freedom of choice. And without that choice, love is meaningless. But, and this is a big but, the fact that God created the potential for evil by granting us freedom of choice will ultimately lead to the best of all possible worlds. A world in which there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, because those who choose Christ are going to be redeemed from evil by God's goodness and will forever be able not to sin. So even in creating the world in the way God did, it leads to the best of all possible eventualities. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Michelle. She's listening in Fayetteville, Arkansas on Butt Radio. Hi.
Hi. First of all, I want to thank you for your ministry. I am a monthly supporter, and I just appreciate all that you do.
Bless you. Thank you.
I was listening to the broadcast, and when you had Joe Dallas on, regarding his article, Is Gay Christian an Acceptable Identity? He used a comparison, which I have long used, to alcoholism, as far as, you know, ultimately, regardless of your desires or your tendencies, you choose whether to act on them or not. My question is regarding the labels that you put on yourselves, and because I was thinking about as far as drunkenness and alcoholism. When people go to AA meetings, even if they've recovered from it, they still say, hi, my name is so-and-so, I'm an alcoholic. So they are putting that label on themselves based off of actions that they had. Is that a fair comparison to homosexuals maybe saying, I'm a recovered homosexual, or is, do you understand what I'm
sure,
asking?
Sure, yeah. And Joe actually addresses that in one of the articles in the special edition of the Christian Research Journal. But, it, you know, context is very, very important because if you're in an AA meeting, introducing yourself as, hi, I'm Joe, I'm an alcoholic, is perfectly acceptable. But you wouldn't do that in a church situation when you're introducing yourself because we all recognize intuitively and rightly that every one of us has a besetting sin and many sins. So we don't enumerate those sins. We just assume that the other people know that we're sinners and that the church is a hospital for sinners who have come to faith in Christ. The other thing I think that's important to recognize is that homosexuality is a behavior, not an identity. And you have to always keep that straight. And I think Joe therefore says in the article, and again, I agree with what Joe says on this subject. I don't know if anybody that knows the subject better. He says that homosexuality is a word best used as an adjective, or homosexual, best used as an adjective, as in I experience homosexual temptations, rather than using it as a noun. I am a homosexual. Because the result of the latter usage is labeling, and with labeling comes limitation, the former offers a broader, more biblical self-view. Yeah, and again, Joe talks about this in length in the article, Is Gay Christian an Acceptable Identity?
Okay. Well, I appreciate your answer. Thank you very much for taking my call.
You got it. My pleasure. Back to the phone lines, Al, Washington, D.C., Bot Radio. Hi, Al.
How you doing, Hank? A pleasure to speak to you. I've been having some conversations with some atheists on a social media website, and the answer that they always give me for, you know, there's not a God, is that we don't believe God due to lack of evidence. And I don't really know how to come back on that, because, I mean, it's obviously God, you can't touch him. And I think that's kind of what they're saying. We can't touch him. We've never seen him. I'm just trying to get some better answers to how I can address that statement.
You know, quite frankly, it's irrational to say that God does not exist because you can't touch or feel him. There are a lot of things you can't touch and feel that you know exist, including gravity and black holes and many other things that we could talk about. But the reality is that there's plenty of evidence for God. If you were stumbling around on a desert island and you happen to bump into a basketball, you would immediately think, ah, someone made that basketball. There is a basketball maker. Maybe he inhabits this island. I don't know. But the idea that there would be a basketball maker would be foremost in your mind. And when you look at the universe is absolutely clear. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Or, in the words of the Apostle Paul, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. Not only that, but there's something else I think important. God has written a knowledge of himself on the canvas of our consciousness, and therefore we are without excuse. And the more light we respond to, the more light we get. The problem is, atheists want to remain in darkness oftentimes, saying that nothing creates everything, life comes from non-life, and the life that comes from non-life creates metaphysical realities. That's what is really hard and takes a tremendous amount of faith to adhere to, not the Christian point of view. We're out of here for today. Stand with us, shoulder to shoulder, in the battle for life and truth.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Should people who feel they belong to a particular gender be allowed to use public bathrooms restricted to that gender, even if their birth certificate states they belong to the opposite gender? Through recent legislation, some states are answering yes, while others are answering no. Christians must determine how they should respond to this controversy. Other topics include, is gay Christian an acceptable identity? Why biologists tend to make bad ethicists, and much more. Stand with the Christian Research Institute. And as our thanks for your gift, receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.